Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, this afternoon, it's been reported, as you heard in the headlines, that US spy satellites picked up an explosion at the Kakhovka Dam just before it collapsed on Tuesday. American intelligence analysts suspect Russia was behind the dam's destruction, but evidence is still being gathered about who was responsible. It comes as Ukrainian officials claimed they intercepted a phone call between Russian agents who were discussing plans for a sabotage group to blow up the dam. For the latest on the explosion and Ukraine's counteroffensive in Zaporizhia and elsewhere, I'm joined now from Ukraine by Yuri Sak, who's advisor to the Minister of Defence of Ukraine. Mr. Sak, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Can I ask you, first of all, about what the international community at large, it seems, is talking about today in relation to this US intelligence, that there was an explosion just before the dam collapsed? What is your reaction?
Well, to us, this is no surprise, because we knew for a very long time that Russian terrorists have mined the Kakhovka Dam long time ago. And we know that, you know, in the past, they have committed atrocities. And every time they commit an atrocity, of course, they blame Ukraine. So we are used to it by now. And we see that our partners, international community, are as well not buying into these Russian propaganda. But we are kind of surprised a little bit by the reaction of the UN, for example. You know, that and we understand that there needs to be beyond the reasonable doubt, you know, evidence. But this is the facility that was under Russian control since February 2022. We didn't have access to this facility, and you know, the fact that today this news from the US about the explosions, it only proves that we were right all along. You know, Russians blew it up.
Are you frustrated by the reaction of the UN, who seem to be sitting on the fence somewhat on this one and waiting for more evidence? Because the evidence seems to be mounting in terms of what you were saying all along, that it was a Russian attack. The seismic data recorded in Norway, and also the audio communications that your government is supplying, that you intercepted a phone call between Russian agents who were discussing a plan to blow up the dam. Can you tell me a little bit more about those audio communications?
Well, we intercept Russian audio communications on a daily basis. This is what our defense intelligence does, because we need to be aware of what the enemy is planning. And of course, you know, this is just one of the many episodes where we have intercepted phone calls between these terrorists who are discussing another atrocity. We've had these interceptions about Bush. And look, these are the same people who said in 2014 that they have knocked down the MH17. And now there was an international tribunal, and they have been recognized as terrorists who have downed the MH17, the Malaysian Boeing. So, of course, we are a little surprised, to say the least, by the reaction of the UN. And of course, we are also now insisting that the international organizations, including those under the umbrella of the UN, they should be more active in terms of, you know, allowing access, or insisting that the Russian terrorists allow access to the left bank of the Dnieper River, because we have done, our authorities have done all we could to evacuate people from the right bank of the river Dnieper, but you know, we don't have access to the left bank, and the situation there is very precarious, because you know, Russians have no regard for human life, so they just left those people without any attention. And you know,
is it too difficult to say how many people are still at risk there?
It is very difficult to say, because, of course, we will need to wait until the water comes down, and that will take another 4 to 5 days. But we know that 600 square kilometers are now underwater. In some places, water has reached up to 10 meters high. And the water levels in the actual Kakhovka Reservoir, which is upriver, right, from the dam, is still continuing to drop. So the situation is going to be very difficult for the next couple of days still.
Well, it's incredible, isn't it, Yuri? In the matter of a couple of days, whole villages and towns submerged, given the flow of water from the Dnipro and from the dam. I just wonder about the humanitarian response here, and something you alluded to there in terms of the international rescue efforts and aid efforts. How is it going, and what more do you expect from the international community?
We are doing all we can, and both the governmental authorities as well as civil society organizations, we are evacuating people. More than 2,000 have been evacuated from about 60 different villages and little towns. We are providing them with drinking water. We are providing them with shelter. And of course, the next immediate priorities, and this is something where international organizations can be helpful, actually, is we need to provide more water pumps. We need boats that will allow us to continue our rescue operation. And we need, of course, to ensure that these people have shelter and food and basic humanitarian assistance. Interestingly enough, Karmak, actually, this is an emergency of a huge scale. We are unable to yet say what is the impact, but not even one single country has sent their rescue workers. And we understand that this is probably because this is an active war zone. And just yesterday, you might have seen the images and the video footage from Kherson, which is the city next to Dam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as people were being evacuated and receiving humanitarian aid, there were explosions right there in the central parts of the city. So we understand that. But we, of course, we want the international community to be more active and proactive when it comes to our rescue efforts.
It is incredible, right, that people who are extremely at risk are being shelled as well, and those who are trying to help them. Can I ask you, Yuri, about the counter-offensive which is underway? Reports that tanks and artillery and drones used by Ukrainian soldiers are pounding the Zaporizhia region and trying to split the defence of Russian soldiers there. How is that going? What's progress like?
Well, look, Karma, we have said that, you know, this being quiet about the progress is part of our strategy. We cannot disclose any details about our plans, about our strategy. In fact, there are only a limited number of people even inside Ukraine who are aware of the actual plans. Now, what we can say is that in some parts of the front lines, and this is a very large front line, right? It's over 900 kilometers long. So in some parts, like, for example, in and around the city of Bakhmut, during the last 24 hours, our armed forces have been able, in some places, to move forward 1 kilometer, sometimes even more than 1 kilometer. So that's advance of the Ukrainian army. In other parts, the fighting is really fierce because we knew that the enemy, you know, they've used all this time to fortify their defense line. So we understand, you know, this is a war. This, and there are casualties in any war. But we have a very capable military command who have shown in the past that they are fighting a smart war. They take great care of the life of our personnel. And unlike our enemy, right, because just during the last 24 hours, we have destroyed 1,100 Russian soldiers along the front line. Mm-hmm. This is a staggering amount of people who were just killed, and this is why our defense intelligence today issued a video. A very simple message is being sent to these terrorists: surrender or die, because the only chance for them to actually live is to surrender.
Mm-hmm. How will it end, Yuri? Because we speak with Ukrainian voices, be it MPs or people in Ukraine reporting, or indeed your own citizens in Ukraine seeking refuge here in this country. And the tone and the message of what they say has gone from panic and fear and shock at the start of the war to almost being resigned to the fact that it's going to be a long war now. Is there any way this war can be ended, in your opinion?
Well, there is only one way in which this war can be ended and will be ended is Ukraine's full victory and restoration of our territorial integrity, including Crimea. You know, Golda Meir, who was one of the founders of Israel, when she was giving an interview once and she was asked about what is the secret sort of weapon of Israel, she answered the absence of alternatives. Now, we are fighting a war of survival. We don't have any other alternative but to continue to fight, to liberate our land, to deoccupy our land, and to bring these war criminals to trial. And, you know, we are very thankful to our international partners for standing with Ukraine, for providing us with vital military support. And, you know, together we will win. It is just a matter of time, and it's a matter of all of us stepping up our efforts in terms of making sure that the Ukrainian soldiers are well equipped and receive everything they need on time.
Well, Yuri Sack, we are very thankful to you for joining us on the program this evening. That's Yuri Sack, advisor to the Minister of Defence in Ukraine.